This is Only a Game. I'm Bill Littlefield. The MLB All-Star Game is Tuesday night in Washington, D.C. That means it's time for the OAG Investigative Unit to release the results of a months-long probe into the origin of a song you may hear in anticipation of Tuesday's game. Only a Game's Martin Kessler has the story.
I think it was the first song I ever knew all the words to.
I just remember it taking over.
And I took great pride in knowing all the words because they come very fast.
There's probably five different stations I listened to regularly, and it was probably on one of them at any given moment.
I also really realized that there was something kind of poetic about it. You know, it's a cold world. They say it gets colder. So what's wrong with
taking the back streets? The song, of course, is Smash Mouth's 1999 hit, All Star. Hey now, you're an all star. Get your game on. All-Star reached number 4 on the Billboard Hot 100, but with those timeless lyrics, hey now, you're an all-star, get your game on, go play, it was quickly number 1 in the hearts of young sports fans. I can still remember an end-of-season Little League barbecue at which All-Star just played on repeat. It's all my fellow preteens and I wanted to hear. The song got so big so fast that Smash Mouth was called on to perform at Fenway Park before the 1999 Home Run Derby. But it turns out that All-Star, the sports anthem of my generation, actually wasn't meant for sports fans.
How much was sports on your mind, though, as you were writing the lyrics?
It wasn't the inspiration for it. I think the inspiration for it was me looking at my shoe.
That's Smash Mouth songwriter slash guitarist Greg Camp, and we'll get back to his shoe. But that's not the only surprising finding from our investigation. There's also this from producer Eric Valentine.
That song almost did not exist.
Back in early 1997, otherwise known as 2BAS or Before All-Star, Smash Mouth, then a little-known band from San Jose, California, was on thin ice.
Because our band was about to break up. We'd been together for like 2.5 years and nothing had happened.
That's Smash Mouth's bass player, Paul Delisle. And when he says nothing had happened, he means the band still hadn't been signed by a major label.
We weren't getting anywhere as quick as we wanted to.
That's Greg Camp again.
And so we decided to fire our manager. And our manager said, what can I do to keep you guys? We said, we want $10,000 to go record with this producer named Eric Valentine.
Eric Valentine was an up-and-coming producer who also lived in the Bay Area.
Our manager said, okay, done. And so he gave us the money.
Paul Delisle doesn't remember the band threatening to fire its manager.
But I do remember him giving us 10 grand and just thinking he was just nuts. Just like, why don't you just burn it, you know?
So Smash Mouth got the money to book their dream producer, and soon they were ready to record at Eric Valentine's studio.
You pretty much walk through the door and you're stepping on old burritos and cables.
There isn't a maid service at the studio. What can I tell you?
That's Eric. Anyway, back to Greg.
You walk through a little maze of speakers and things, and there's Eric, the mad scientist, sitting back there. Looks like he hasn't ever been outside, you know? And just a genius, mad scientist genius.
Eric says it's not entirely true that he never went outside.
Towards the end of 96, I went on a scuba diving trip with my dad.
Anyway, to make a long story short, Smash Mouth and Eric Valentine hit it off, and they put together a song that Greg had written called Walking on the Sun, and that changed everything. So don't delay, act now,
supplies are running out. It immediately became a huge hit.
Smash Mouth was signed by Interscope Records. The band put out its first album and started touring. And here's where I want to tell you about one important dynamic within Smash Mouth.
Could you rank the, you know, original members of Smash Mouth as far as their sports fandom?
Okay, for Greg, it's almost non-existent.
Greg, remember, is the band's chief songwriter.
I don't know how to play sports very well.
And were the other guys in the group big sports fans?
Yes, all of them.
I'm a sports fanatic.
That's lead singer Steve Harwell.
So I watch it every morning, every day. I listen to it, sports talk radio.
I played ice hockey till I was 15.
So on the tour bus, it was all sports all the time, at least for everyone except Greg. If the guys weren't watching a game on TV, they were playing a sports game on Xbox. Greg says that was fine with him. But when he started reading through the band's fan mail, he could tell that Smash Mouth's biggest fans weren't mainstream sports fanatics.
These were outsiders. They wanted to spend more time in art class, and they weren't punk, they weren't rock, they weren't BMX, they weren't skater, they weren't surfers. They were kind of either all of those things or some of those things.
Greg says that a lot of those kids would write in with stories of being bullied
by other kids or their siblings or their parents or their step-parents. It was like, wow, like, we're sort of like, like this healing thing for these kids, you know? So we would respond to those letters.
Smash Mouth kept touring their first album into 1998, and the band got used to hearing a particular phrase.
All we heard was one hit wonder. They're done. That's it. Critics didn't like us.
But Greg was already writing songs for the band's second album. And when Smash Mouth returned to Northern California, they went back to record with Eric Valentine. Everything was going to plan. Here's Eric.
We had a finished record for their second album, Astro Lounge, that we thought was amazing. Like, yep, high five, home run, grand slam. This is the thing.
We turned in what we thought was the finished album.
Greg Camp again.
And I got a call from our manager and said, you know, get on a plane and get down to LA, that the Interscope wants to talk to you. And so it was like going to the principal's office.
Meetings with the Interscope execs could mean trouble. Greg still remembers one talk with Interscope co-founder Jimmy Iovine that went like this.
I remember Jimmy Iovine sitting, kind of almost laying on a couch, like on a sofa in his office, with his stereo next to him with a big volume knob on it, and him just like blasting the music. And he would only turn it down long enough to say something and then turn it all the way back up so you couldn't respond. You know, he's like, you turn it down and go, where's the chorus? And then turn it all the way back up.
But this time, after Smash Mouth turned in what they thought was their finished second album, Greg was called in for a meeting at the home of another Interscope executive.
They're just like, where's the hit? This isn't it. This isn't, we got a second single, you got a third single, maybe a fourth single, but you don't have a first single. We're not going to put this out until you give us something better than this.
And it was just like, very, very frustrating to hear, because we had really worked hard on everything up to that point.
Greg went home, hunkered down in his garage, and tried to create a hit.
You know, I think I picked up a Billboard magazine and like, what do people listen to these days? You know, it's like, I don't listen to the radio. So I was just checking it out and I'm like, all right, okay. We need something that's going to be a little funky. That's kind of why I started with the breakbeat.
And sorry, can you just describe what is a breakbeat?
Oh, it's like just a beat from an old song. So I was like, you know, like that kind of thing.
And when he started to write the lyrics, Greg found himself thinking about all those letters he'd read on tour. The ones from the kids who said they were bullied. Greg decided to write a song for them.
Sort of like a self-affirmation, don't let these people get you down, go get them.
And this is where Greg's footwear comes into the story.
The whole All-Star thing, I think I was probably wearing Converse All-Stars, which is what I always wore. And I think it just went click, click, click. You know, like All-Star, wow. It's like, what does that mean? I think it means when a bunch of exceptional players get together and have a team. Is that what that means? And so, you know, it was like, oh, this could sort of relate to a kid who just needs a pep talk.
Greg put together a demo of the song, singing the lyrics himself. He played it for the band.
They're like, oh, this can be a long couple years.
So you guys knew like this was gonna be a hit.
We had a feeling, yeah.
Singer Steve Harwell remembers the moment well.
They said, this is like a smash. This is going to be life-changing. And we knew it. And I knew it right away.
I just, you know, said at one point, I think this song will definitely do what the record company wants it to do, but it you may potentially fly your band straight into the sun with this song, because there's no turning back from this. But everybody agreed that it's too valuable to try and be too cool to put it out.
So they put together an emergency recording session, and All Star was born.
Somebody once told me the world is gonna roll me. I ain't the sharpest tool in the shed.
It shot pretty quickly up the charts.
And while Greg may have written the song for the Outsider Kids, it became a sports anthem.
I guess it got co-opted. Hey, it's fine with us, you know. Greg should be very proud for writing that song, because it's not just a song, it's like a cultural institution, you know?
In the years since Smash Mouth's only non-sports fan wrote the sports anthem of a generation, the band has performed at dozens of baseball, football, and basketball games. Mark Cuban picked them up in his private jet so they could perform at a Dallas Mavericks game. The song famously appeared in the 2001 movie Shrek. In recent years, Greg Camp has been doing his own music production and writing songs for other artists. But he, Paul, and Steve still tour with Smash Mouth. And the song All Star is still out there. Greg says he was at the park the other day, pushing his daughter on the swing, when the little boy next to them started singing the song.
And my daughter looked at me like, what the? Do you know him? I don't. It's a double-edged sword because, you know, that is the top rung. You know, it's like, that's about as good as you're going to get. You know, still to this day, if someone wants to work with me or someone wants to do a song or something like that, they're like, let's do another All-Star. I'm like, oh, get right on that, pal. You know, it's like, it's just I don't know, it's just a one-of-a-kind thing. Hey now, you're an All-Star.
Get your game on, go play. Thanks to Only a Game's Martin Kessler for his months of hard work on that story. Thanks also to Sports Illustrated's Charlotte Wilder and CBS Boston sports writer Michael Hurley for sharing their fond memories of All-Star. Remember, only shooting stars break the mold. Yeah.